Here you have four vignettes or selections from the rule of Saint Benedict, not specifically concerned with avarice, although as we'll see in the Instruments of Good Works, there is in fact a description of what the cure of avarice, understood as mercy and compassion, can consist of. This is not so much a specific focus on this vice, although Benedict does, throughout the rule, talk about the necessity for letting go of possessions and being dispossessed as a precondition for joining the monastery. This selection is for the purpose of reminding ourselves that avarice, together with the failings of lust and gluttony, are all part of what is referred to as the epithumeticon, or the concupiscible appetite, the capacity to desire. Now, it's important that we remember that although we focused on the failings of this energy, desire itself is a gift from God. We'll continue to see how it's purified and refined and even sharpened in the form of powerful zeal in our study of the thumicon, of the orectic faculty, the part of ourselves that's capable of courage when we look at the vices of acedia and of sorrow or gloominess and anger. But here I'd like to remind us that in the rule of Saint Benedict, there are some specific texts that emphasize the consecration of the whole concupiscible appetite, our capacity for desiring, of which avarice is the misuse. We are to use this energy that directs us naturally outward towards attractive persons, toward that which sustains us, even to the good things in creation that God has had, not to hoard them, but to rejoice in them and then to use them, to give them away in a certain sense, to let them become occasions of charity and hospitality. This is something that Benedict particularly stresses. If you drop down towards the bottom of this section from the prologue to verses 49 and 50, Benedict talks about this school of the Lord's service, which, although it is narrow at the beginning, involves the expanded heart, dilatato corde. Our hearts widen and then we run with unspeakable sweetness of love, of a delectio, this absolute delight in the sweetness of love, and that is the result of the widened heart, which embracing this life that includes dispossession as its precondition will lead us to. Let's holding that model of a widened heart running in the sweetness of God, then drop down and look at some specific selections from chapter 4, the Instruments of Good Works. Note that, having seen in Evagrius and to a lesser extent in Cassian, that the cure for avarice is to be found in acts of mercy, of compassion towards others, then we are given specific examples of this in the Instruments of Good Works, particularly in Numbers 14 through 19. To give new life to the poor, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, to bury the dead, to help in tribulation, to console the sorrowful. Here we have concrete external examples of what it means to act in compassion and charity towards others. In other words, to exhibit that charity, that delight in love, acting toward the other, that is the counteractant, the specific remedy against the vice of avarice. Then, if we drop down a little further, there is a unique contribution which Benedict makes that is not found in the rule of the master, and that's particularly in number four, number 46 of the Instruments of Good Works, where he says, to desire eternal life with all, and I've translated it as spiritual ardent yearning. Very strong words. Vitam aeternam omni concupiscentia spirituali desiderare. Benedict wants us to yearn for eternal life with all desire of spiritual, and he uses the word concupiscence. There is a consecration of the concupiscible faculty, the capacity for yearning or desiring this epithumia, or yearning for God, which is experienced during our life on earth, in a particular way in our relationships with others. There is a yearning for eternal life, which involves an awareness of, an appropriation of, this capacity for yearning that exists within our own natural selves. Benedict is here including, as an instrument of good works, and remember here he's specifically augmenting the vocabulary of the Master, the notion that our yearning for eternal life will involve a spiritual, ardent yearning, a consecration of this concupiscible faculty. So here in the Instruments of Good Works, which is obviously a long and complex chapter that we don't have time to look at in as much detail as it would warrant, there is not only a concrete series of examples of what it means to act in the charity, which counteracts avarice, but also there is a spiritual or contemplative yearning or longing for heaven that is a way of consecrating and blessing this yearning or desiring capacity of ourselves, within ourselves. And he in verse 74 of the Instruments, we never despair, that is to say, we never allow ourselves to forget that God himself is mercy. Misericordia Dei numquam desperare. You never forget the mercy of God. And his use of the term mercy here is a unique contribution or addition of Benedict to the Master's texts. Now, dropping down to the observance of Lent, the reason I've included that here is that here, too, we find a passage in which Benedict uses very strong desire language to describe the goal of our lives and even the purpose of Lent. This is particularly helpful, I think, during a Holy Week and an end of Lent kind of meditation. He says that if you drop down to verse 6 of the Observance of Lent, chapter 49, that we are to await Holy Easter with the joy of spiritual desire, cum spiritualis desiderii gaudio sanctum pascha expectet. So here again, he uses the language of desiring to express what it is that Lent itself is all about. Asceticism, all of the things that we do as a part of our spiritual journey, coming to know our temptations and saying no to them, has as its goal the yearning for heaven, which he here describes as awaiting Easter with a joy of spiritual desire. There is to be joy and desire at the heart of everything that we do. And of course, our Lenten offerings are not just about ourselves, although they are specific practices which we do undertake in order to let go of our faults and seek to acquire the virtues, but they can also be and should also be offering of acts of compassion towards one another within community. And then finally, at chapter 72, in many ways, the consecration of this epithumia, or desire, this concupiscible faculty, the whole region out of which the misuse of avarice arises, is in many ways the subject of chapter 72 on the good zeal. And we will return to this chapter again to look at it in a slightly different way when we look at the orectic faculty at the thumicon. But here I'd like to remind us that there is a zeal which is itself the good use of this capacity for desire. Benedict specifically describes in verse 2 that the good zeal separates from vice and leads to God and life everlasting. The image of eternal life towards which we're moving is precisely the source or the origin of our experience of this good zeal. And it happens in a concretely interpersonal communal dynamic of outdoing one another in this contemplative capacity to show honor, which we've described before. The acts of mercy and loving kindness, which are themselves the cure of avarice, are here expressed in patiently enduring both physical or moral infirmities in the other, showing honor, that is, beholding the glory of God in another, showing to other that the other that image of God which we ourselves cannot properly see, and competing in showing obedience. This results in charity, caritas, in loving reverence, amor, and affection, this love that's expressed in the Latin word diligere. So Benedict, in here ringing the changes of love, is also reminding us of the concrete forms that the zealous yearning for heaven lived out in concrete acts of compassion towards one another is to be, which is itself the antidote for the vice of avarice.